This is KUNM. I'm Marisa DeMarco. Dozens of transgender people seeking asylum were part of the caravan that crossed the border about a month ago. One woman was transferred to an ICE detention facility in New Mexico, and she died days later. Demonstrators gathered at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement field office in Albuquerque on Wednesday afternoon to march, chant, and demand answers.
We are watching!
Roxana!
Presente!
Roxana!
Presente!
Immigrant rights groups say Roxana Hernandez was denied medical care at the Cibola County Correctional Center, a privately run facility near Grants. That's common for transgender people who are detained here, according to Gabriela Hernandez, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Team.
We also face a lot of isolation or misgender, and so we see a lot of transgender women in the male detention centers, and so the sexual assaults are much, much higher.
Part of the problem, she says, is that ICE is not transparent about what happens inside detention facilities, and that means there's no accountability or assurances that the agency follows its own rules. Roxana Hernandez is the sixth person to die while in custody since October, according to ICE. An autopsy is pending. The agency released a statement saying medical care is provided to detainees soon after they arrive, and they do have access to emergency care. For KUNM, I'm Marisa DeMarco. This is KUNM. I'm Marisa DeMarco. People detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement around the country describe harsh conditions and even abuse inside facilities. Transgender women seeking asylum in the United States are often held by ICE in a separate pod at a detention center near Grants, New Mexico. On Friday, advocates saw a small victory when some women were released. 14 women dug through backpacks of clothes, toiletries, and snacks at El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos in Albuquerque, just hours after they were released from detention. Community members were arriving who would welcome the women into their homes for a couple of days. 23-year-old Estefany Monge Alvarenga traveled with the caravan from Central America to the U.S.-Mexico border at the end of April, along with many other LGBTQ refugees.
Me amenazaron. Que si yo regresaba a mi país, que me iban a matar y todo. Yo es el miedo, por eso salí huyendo de mi país.
Transgender people have no rights in her home country of Honduras, Monge Alvarenga says, and she was fleeing persecution, violence, and death threats. After a long journey, she presented herself to authorities at the border seeking asylum. She'd been in the Cibola County Detention Center ever since, about 2.5 months.
Horrible. Ay, no, yo no le deseo a otras personas encerradas. Ay, no. Y yo con un problema médico también que no me lo quisieron atender bien.
Monge Alvarenga said she wouldn't wish detention on anyone, and she did not receive medical attention despite repeated requests. Another woman who traveled with the caravan, Roxana Hernandez, died in late May in Albuquerque after what advocates say was extreme medical negligence while she was detained out of state. Allegra Love, the director of the Santa Fe Dreamers Project, is the lawyer who represented the women in their parole cases.
Part of the problem why they need parole is because all of these women turned themselves in at the U.S. border in the San Ysidro crossing. They walked up to the port of entry and said, I'm here seeking asylum, which means they have never broken a single United States law.
Here in New Mexico, the Cibola County Correctional Center acts as a federal prison, a county jail, and an ICE detention facility. It's run by private company CoreCivic. An ICE spokesperson maintained in an email that ICE does not house detainees in prisons. She wouldn't comment on general concerns about healthcare at the detention center. But Love says the trauma, the lack of physical and mental healthcare, and the ongoing and unpredictable detainment resulted in several suicide attempts in the transgender pod in New Mexico this summer.
Trans detention is inappropriate. It's inhumane. Do you know how easy it was for ICE to let them go? They signed a paper I sent them.
It's a victory. It's a partial victory. I feel happy to see my friends out here and see that they're free and that they're doing well.
Nakai Flot is an organizer with Diversidad Sin Fronteras, and she accompanies migrants from Central America and Mexico to the border.
But I'm also very sad that some of the other compañeras are still detained, and it breaks my heart.
Somewhere around 40 or 45 transgender asylum seekers remain in detention in New Mexico.
The ones that stay there, you know, are probably the ones that have to do the most work. They're the ones that have to stay strong, and they're the ones that have to, like, keep being fierce inside so that they don't go crazy and start thinking like, why not me? Why ICE didn't let me be out?
After a meal of empanadas and lemonade, volunteers and advocates sang Las Mañanitas to one of the women, wishing her a happy birthday and saying her liberation was her gift that day. After a brief stay here, the women headed to sponsors around the U.S. They'll pursue their individual asylum cases in the coming months. Estefany Monge Alvarenga had a message for the 40 or so transgender women still back at the Cibola County Detention Center. Don't lose hope.
Salir adelante y luchar con fuerza. No, mira para atrás, mira para adelante.
She'll keep fighting, she says. Keep moving forward. That's where her strength comes from. For KUNM, I'm Marisa DeMarco. This is KUNM. I'm Marisa DeMarco. Transgender asylum seekers are detained in a special unit in New Mexico's Cibola County Correctional Center. A Santa Fe legal group is working with transgender people from the new caravan at the border to try and minimize their time in lockup here. Lawyer Allegra Love just returned from the border. She says the transgender folks there are waiting in cold and rough conditions where they'll likely have to stay for the next couple of weeks. An asylum seeker from an earlier caravan, Roxana Hernandez, was severely dehydrated and beaten before she died in custody, according to a recently released autopsy report.
The last caravan, it took us months and months and months to get them out. And as we all know, Roxana died in that process. So what we're trying to do is make sure we are as ready as possible to move quickly on getting them released.
Transgender people often face higher rates of violence in volatile situations, Love says, because they're highly visible and vulnerable. Dozens of transgender women from this caravan are waiting in Mexico to start the asylum process, which likely will mean detention in New Mexico. And this time, Love's group, the Santa Fe Dreamers Project, is working in advance to find support when they come through the state. Overall, the Santa Fe group has helped more than 80 women get released so far, with 20 winning their asylum claims. For KUNM, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
This is KUNM. I'm Hannah Colton. Central American transgender women who are seeking asylum in the U.S. are sent by immigration officials to a detention pod in rural New Mexico. This year, volunteers from many organizations here came together to help them. The work started as kind of a scramble, but over time, quick coordination has smoothed out. KUNM's Marisa DeMarco brings us a story about life after detention.
Women comb through the racks and pop in and out of dressing rooms at Thrift-A-Lot in Albuquerque. Brittany opens the door a bit to get an opinion on an outfit.
¿Cómo va?
Bien, me encantó.
Sí, está bonita esa, ¿eh?
Sí, pero... Her companions say it's pretty. It'll match the bra she found. It's her first day after being released from a special unit for transgender women at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center. She'd been inside for months. As shoppers around us consider Christmas decorations, Brittany says it's emotional to be out on parole and breathing fresh air. Detention is like prison, Brittany says. People who seek asylum are not breaking U.S. law. Still, transgender women are being held in the Cibola County Correctional Center, which also serves as a local jail. Brittany stayed there after traveling alone for more than half a year across Mexico. Sometimes, she says, sleeping on the streets or going without food.
Pues fue un camino muy, muy difícil, la verdad. Me tocó dormir en la calle.
At 23 years old, she hopes to return to nursing. That's what she studied in school in her home country of El Salvador. She's grateful for these couple of nights here, sleeping soundly with a host family before moving on to stay with her cousin.
Me siento súper, súper bien porque estamos sintiendo que es tener una cama.
At least 80 women were released so far, 20 won their asylum claims, and 40 more are on their way to New Mexico after coming up in the most recent LGBT migrant caravan. Amarosa Silva Banuelos was part of a local grassroots push to figure out how to help the women released from detention in rural New Mexico.
So when I really started to understand what was happening, it was incredibly inhumane.
Silva Banuelos is now the Rapid Response Coordinator for the Trans Latina Coalition. Transgender women of color are often the target of violence around the U.S., and when they were being released from detention here, they were exposed.
They were being let out in Milan, New Mexico, and they were sent on a Greyhound bus. The bus stop there is a dirt little spot in one of the gas stations near one of the hotels.
These days, when someone is leaving Cibola, ICE is first transporting the women to its facility in Albuquerque. Silva Banuelos helps them get a hot meal, clothes and shoes, and a couple of nights in a warm bed. For some, it's the first time they've had that chance in more than a year.
So we kind of look at it holistically. If folks need any medical assistance, we try and work with our local providers. We want to make sure that they're healthy as they move on to the next phase of their life.
For many of the women who are detained, health has been a top concern. They describe not being able to access care, not just physical care, but also counseling for trauma. Michelle Esquivel is a psychotherapist. She recalls walking into the detention center for the first time.
It can have a real sobering effect. You know, it's not the most pleasant place to be.
Esquivel, who volunteers with the Transgender Resource Center of New Mexico, says the staff at the detention facility worked to find the most comfortable room for weekly group sessions.
Once we're kind of in that bubble and in that space, things really start to calm and settle. People begin to feel an opportunity to be heard and to open up.
The sessions are popular and usually kind of big. As many as 25 women attend at once.
Some of the main goals are to help people reduce their symptoms of stress and anxiety and depression. We're also trying to help people find the resources within themselves to get through this difficult time.
Esquivel says volunteer therapists try to boost the women's natural resiliency as they make their way to a new life. For KUNM, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
Public Health New Mexico reporter May Ortega contributed to this story.